Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
And so, yeah, I want to bring a word today, a quick one, and then I want to get some dads to add to the story with me. So we'll have a bit of fun together. But I just think it's worth saying, being a father, it does carry a weight, a responsibility. Yeah. You know, I learned after Charlotte was born that when a baby cries, dads literally have this stress hormone that releases. And so we're like, we want to fix it fast, which is why we get flustered because we have no idea what we're doing. All right. Anyone can relate to that, right? She's crying, quick, do something. Right. And mom's just chill and like, it's fine. And I'm like, it's the hormone, apparently. It's the hormone. But for most dads, we feel the responsibility to provide, to protect, and to God. You know, we want the best. We want to be the best example for our kids. We want to love our wives and have them be proud of us. We really do. You know, we want to provide for the family. We want to give them core memories and great experiences. We want to make sure they're set up to succeed in life. And sometimes that pressure can maybe be a bit too much. It can be a lot. And maybe that even manifests itself at times in some unhealthy ways. And that might look like overworking, that might look like stress, that might look like being short-tempered, just to name a few. And so that's why today we're going to talk about one of the most powerful names of God, and that is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. You see, Genesis 22 is where we first hear this name, and Abraham is asked to do the unthinkable, to lay his firstborn son Isaac on the altar as a sacrifice. That's his miracle boy, right? And in that moment of surrender, with the knife raised, the angel of the Lord calls out, "Do not lay a hand on the boy." And it continues in verse 12 saying, "Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up and there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. He names that place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And I want to speak into this because I believe it strongly aligns with our theme of this year, belief. Because what we believe about who God is determines how we live and what we believe for. A revelation of Jehovah Jireh, that can set us free from a lot of stress and worry and striving and lead us into places of divine provision, of peace-filled obedience, and I believe we'll more confidently say yes to the beautiful adventures of following Jesus that he has available to us. But it all rests on this truth. He is Jireh. He is Jireh, which inevitably implies that we are not. This messes with our human nature, our desire to hold on to things tightly, to make something of ourselves, to take on the role of provider, especially, I think, as men. And so the question we must ask ourselves is, do we trust Jehovah Jireh? Do we trust that the Lord will provide? You know, in Genesis 22, God's provision came on the other side of Abraham's obedience and surrender to God. Maybe you're thinking, oh, that's not a great example, Pastor Shannon, because I don't plan to sacrifice my son to God. I won't touch on whether that's ever crossed your mind or not. That's between you and the Lord and your therapist. But let's look at another example then to help my point. We see the same pattern in Luke chapter 5. That's the New Testament. Peter and the fishermen, they've been out all night. They caught nothing. Jesus tells them in Luke chapter 5, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. They reckon it was a haul of about 2 tons worth of fish. You know, they'd had an absolute dry spell at work, right? No sales, no hits, no new clients, no big orders, no raise, no promotion, no fish. We'll try again tomorrow and we'll hope for the best. You know, hopefully they're biting tomorrow. But then at Jesus' word, drop the nets again, they obey. And the nets pull in a catch so much, the nets begin to break. Provision follows obedience. Yes. It rarely precedes it. Some of us are waiting for God to provide first and then we'll obey. But it's the other way around. Obedience, surrender, and trust first, and then provision flows. That's how the Lord establishes that He is Jireh, not us. Do you remember the widow in 2 Kings chapter 4? She was in so much debt that she was about to lose her sons to slavery to pay the cost. All she had left was a little jar of olive oil, right? Elisha the prophet tells her to gather as many jars from your neighbors as you can and fill each one with this little jar. The oil only stops flowing when she runs out of jars. She's then able to sell them all and could adequately provide for her family, right? But she obeyed and trusted. And the measure of her faith created the capacity for provision. Sometimes provision hasn't come, or we haven't seen that breakthrough, not because God isn't faithful, but because we haven't given Him room to provide. We're still clinging to control. We haven't trusted Him with any jars to work with. The question isn't, can God provide? The question is, how much am I allowing Him to provide for me? Or am I holding so tight to everything, so busy striving and trying to make ends meet, trying to gain more wealth, trying to get it done or win that project because that's what's going to set our family up, that I haven't even stopped to ask the Lord what He might be asking of me or what the Lord has placed in my hands that He wants me to trust Him with? He is Jireh. Now, I'm not saying we aren't called to work hard, to steward what we've been given, to play our part, but it comes back to this question of, in whom do you trust? Is it yourself? Is it your spouse? Is it your own abilities? Is it the job you've been given or are trying to get? Or is it Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides? You know, the Lord has provided for myself, my family, and in countless ways. I would love to stand here and share testimony after testimony. I'll give you a couple of quick ones. You know, I was given a brand new phone, a brand new iPhone after I stopped striving to get one and just trusted the Lord to provide. You know, we had a free second car for 18 months, right? We had a free rent for 18 months when we moved back. We repatriated back to Australia from Cambodia when no one else could even find a rental. My first job after university, I got the job beating 30 other applicants. I was completely underqualified, but I'd been told by God to tithe for 6 months prior to that when I had no income, right? There's so many examples of God's divine provision. And please don't hear, I'm not trying to boast, but I want us to understand that He is Jireh, that He has come through whenever I've given Him room to. I actually said, okay, I'm trusting you to do something here. I've put it in His hands, which means I've had to let go of it from my hands. I've had to kind of open them up and say, God, whatever you want to do. And you know, there's so many more, but I recognize it's always come down for me to this scripture in Matthew chapter 6. We'll start at verse 31. It says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first. Someone say, seek first. His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. If He is first, if He is first on our agenda, if His kingdom and honoring His way is central for us, His promise is to take care of everything else. That's a promise. God does not break His promises, but we'll only go His way if we trust Him. But when we trust Him, Obedience actually easily follows. And then there he is faithful to provide. Now, this isn't just theory. This is real life. Every father in the room knows what it's like to wrestle with the weight of being the provider, all right? And so rather than just me telling stories, I've asked two dads from our church family to come up and just share a bit of their own journey of what it means for God to be their provider. But before we get them up, I want to just finish with this. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 32. And put that up on the screen. And let's keep it up there for a while, Ree. It says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" Some of us need to put that up on the ceiling above our pillows so that we see it before we go to bed and when we wake up every day to be reminded of that. Just keep that up for a while. Genesis 22 is actually a foretelling of this very scripture. That moment of the ram in the thicket, this wasn't just about a ram. It was a prophetic picture of Jesus, the Lamb of God provided for us on the cross. Let this encourage you. If God has already provided for our greatest need, the salvation of our souls, how much more can we trust him with our everyday needs, your finances, your family, your future? He's already given his son. What wouldn't he give you if it's for his glory and your good? He is Jireh, amen, and so we don't have to be. But let's talk about this a little bit more. Let's welcome up Gary Wenham and Josh Walkermeyer. You guys can come on the stage as we're going to hear their journey of the Lord being provider. Gary's one of our elders, married to the wonderful Deb Wenham. And watch out for the water bottle there. Oh, look at this. We got some Lego and basketball. They were going to do flowers. I was like, please. This is Father's Day. This is Man's Day. All right. We're giving out. What's it called? Are we giving out today? Divorce. We're not giving out divorce today. That's a different. No. Divorce. You say it.
Divorce.
Use the microphone.
Divorce.
Oh, look at that. That's what we needed. You guys are both from South. You're Zimbabweans, South Africa. Ah, there we go. Representing Africa today. That's it. Sorry, I was halfway through introducing you, Gary. Help me be behaved, please. Gary's also father to Chris and Jess. Yep. What else do you do? Tell us what you do for work.
I'm an engineer and work in the project management field, I guess.
Yep. There we go. Yep. There we go. And you do something with the airport, apparently.
I make sure the planes.
Are you on? Just make sure that's switched on. Is that up? Yeah. All right, go again.
Hello. No. Yes, there we go. Yeah, no, I make sure the planes land and all that stuff. Yeah, something. I'm in technology and maybe one day I'll do a project at an airport. Who knows?
Are you married to the wonderful Christine?
I am. Yes.
And father of three boys. I'm having David, Jed, Zachy. It's weird. I'm on stage and I can't remember names. We hang out with these guys all the time. I'm like, who's the other one? Zachy, sorry. I'm so sorry. What do you actually do? IT analyst or something?
Yeah. So I'm a technology project manager and business analyst. Depends on the project as to what role I fill. Yeah.
Amazing. So these guys are trusted men of God in the house. And I thought I would just ask them some questions. Josh, why don't we start with you? What does it mean to you for God to be provider?
Yeah, look, it takes a huge weight off, right? Like, it's a real source of peace. Like, I don't have to strive or stress for provision in the same way that I would if I didn't have someone that took care of me. For me, the real striving comes to stay in that peace, to push into the peace. Like, when circumstances may not look favourable, it's instead of letting worry take over. Yeah. Like, even that passage you read before from Matthew, it three times in that passage, it explicitly says, do not worry.
Yep.
Right? And that commands all through the Word of God. But in this short little passage where he's talking about how God cares for us, he's do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. When something's repeated three times, it's there to catch your attention.
Mm.
Right? And it comes right after a passage where he's talking about you can't serve both God and mammon.
Oof.
Right? Literally, right, the verse is right before that.
Mm.
are like, you can't serve two masters, right? Which one are you going to follow? And so for me to have God as provider, it's it takes all of that worry off, right? Mm. And but it's also, it helps me fix my eyes on the right thing. Like, I need to be looking to Jesus for the source of my supply, for everything. And like you described before, it's not just financial provision, it's provision of everything else that I need. Like, he, you know, the verse in Romans 8 that you just went through, that he gave up his own son, how much more will he not richly bless us with all things, like relationships, health, like all the stuff that he knows that we need, you know. And he's a good father. If you know, elsewhere he says, if you, being imperfect fathers, know how to give your children good gifts, like if your kid asks you for food, you're not going to give him a rock, you know, but how much more will your father give you good things, right? And he provides. He's really good. You've got to trust in his goodness and know that he's good, right? And if you're looking at anything else for your source, for me, like that's, if something else is your security, right? Like, I've got all this amount in my bank account, I've got investments that are cash flowing, all this stuff, that's my security, right? Or whatever it is. I don't have any of that. So if anyone does, see me after. I wish my house was paid off. If anyone here wants to pay it off, God bless you. Come see me after.
Lord, speak now. Highlight that to them.
But yeah, like, my security can't be in those things. Even if you're blessed, a lot of Christians don't fail in the test of lack. They fail in the test of abundance. We take our eyes off God. And then that something that's in between you and God, that's your source, that becomes an idol.
Yeah.
And you're then breaking the first two commandments, right? There's something before God. And that's what Jesus said to the rich young ruler in Matthew 19. He said, he looked on him and he loved him. He said, one thing you lack, go and sell everything and then come and follow me. And the guy went away sad because he had much possessions. Those possessions, that was his security. That was what it was before God. Because Jesus quoted the last six commandments. And he said, yeah, I've done all that. And so then Jesus confronted him on the first four and said, well, there's something in between you and God, and that becomes an idol.
Wow, you know, beautiful.
Need to look to Jesus.
Amazing. Gary, I know you mentioned the idea about the partnership when it comes to God being the provider. There's a part that we play. Do you want to touch on that?
Yeah, you know, I think Deuteronomy 8:18 says that God is the one who gives us the ability to create wealth, and the biggest struggle that I've had is recognizing what my part is to play and what God's part to play.
Yeah, great.
And keeping in my lane and leaving him to run in his lane.
Come on.
And often when challenges or difficulties start to emerge and what have you, I find myself starting to reach over and grab the steering wheel and trying to control and drive the vehicle of my life in the way that I want it to go. And sometimes I need a good slap on the hand just to let go, and so on. So, but, you know, the part that we need to play is to really equip ourselves, go and get our education, go and do the things that we need to do, go and recognize the gifts and the abilities that we have, and develop those, but park there, but then allow God to go and do the job of opening up doors, to be able to open up opportunities, open up possibilities for promotion, learning to hear his voice so that we can be led and guided by the Holy Spirit every single day of our lives. So it's just that navigating that tension between those two things.
Beautiful. You mentioned about grabbing the steering wheel and stuff. Tell us about your journey of the wrestle of allowing God to be provider.
We are. I think as a reformed reforming orphan, one who doesn't believe that they have a father and has to do everything themselves, I've walked a journey, and I think a lot of men have walked this journey as well. In when was it, 2016, there was we had a severe resources sector downturn in this part of the world, and I was let go, I wasn't able to find work for 6 months. Now, we had a massive mortgage to pay off. We had I had a daughter in private school. I had a daughter that was going through a lot of dental work and what have you, so the bills were just piling through the door. And there's no revenue coming into the business, or coming into the family. And that's when I was starting to reach over to the steering wheel. Mm. But I don't know, for the accountants out there, this just doesn't compute. But for 8 months, not having any revenue coming in, yes, we tightened in our belts, but we never failed to pay one bill. We didn't have to negotiate with the bank or anybody else to be able to defer a payment. Somehow, it just happened.
Wow.
And, coming out of that was also part of, we've been talking about God's provision, but it, another thing that it dealt with inside of me was my identity. I had my identity in my profession. And when your profession gets whipped out from underneath you, all of a sudden the foundation that you've felt that you can depend on and lean on got ripped out. And that was a great opportunity to learn to depend on God and the identity of being a son and Him being your father to provide.
Wow, there's a lot in that. Thanks, Gary. Can happen unintentionally, like we connect who we are to what we do and what we earn and what we achieve and what we provide, and constantly coming back to that place of I'm His, I'm a son. You talk about there, I'm a recovering orphan. He's talking about orphan spirit, like in that sense of really trusting God as Father and provider, and who He says I am is who I am. Amazing. Josh, why don't you tell us a testimony for you where the Lord's really come through as your provider?
Sure. Well, similar to Gary, mine really, I got laid off about the same time, 2015.
You guys could have hung out.
We could have spent time praying and seeking. We're like, oh, Gary didn't call. He wasn't there for me. So. Jesus was. That's
tell us about that.
He's here for me now. I didn't have much experience. I'd only been about 3.5 years into my career, so I didn't feel like I had very much to offer. And it was a real struggle. I couldn't find a job for the life of me. And hundreds of applications, not a single callback, just automated emails, thanks for applying, but no thanks. And very soul-destroying and very discouraging. So I ended up in a place where I just had to get out. And so I just started this routine where every morning I'd get up and there was a lake near our house, just a short drive. I'd go there and I would just put my headphones in, put on worship music, a particular album, and I would just go around the lake. One of the songs on the album was actually called The House of the Lord Forever, Psalm 23. Mm. And I'd listen to that song on repeat.
Yeah.
And I'd just walk around this lake and I would just have it out with God, you know? Like just, you know, I'd be talking tongues, angry tongues, you know? But didn't have anything to say, you know? And then I would just let Him know, like, I am not happy and I don't know what's happening and I don't know how I'm going to provide, and if you don't do something, I'm selling the house. Like, and then I just have to get to this point where, like, no, like, I need to surrender. Like, thankfully, I didn't have any kids at the time. I just had a mortgage, but we were running backwards, and it was not fun.
Mm.
And you're just in that struggle, and I just had to go, God, but You promised. Mm. You said You'll provide, and there's something here. And as I'm going around that lake, I would not stop, walk around the lake until I literally felt the presence of God, till I felt like He was right there, and I'm talking with Him, just walking and talking like a friend. I'm like, okay, He's heard me. He's got it. I'm good. I'll go home and keep applying for jobs. And just doing this for a month or two. And in that time, God really showed me that I did not trust Him. I had grown up with a real sort of approval-based acceptance mindset that you've got to do things to get God's approval, that you've got to be, do all the right things, sell the right things, and then God blesses you type thing. And and I just saw how wrong that was, you know, and that it was all just by His grace. And also, all my experience, I'd struggled so much to earn. This is the first point in my life where it actually had started to feel like, okay, I'm okay, and then my job gets pulled, right? That's like, oh gosh. Like, so I'd always been the provider, and God showed me that. And I said, no, God, I've got to surrender. You're the provider. And I just let Him have it, like, You provide. I'm not going to sell the house unless the bank pulls it, like, but yeah, You're going to provide, right? And then the phone started ringing, and I had interview, get one job, still going through the process with another, get another job, move to that job, and I end up just 5 months after I was made redundant. I'm in a new job paying 50% more than I was on before. Like, God just...
Praise God.
Oh, and I missed it. One of the more important things, actually, similar to yourself, in that period of time, our church was going through a major renovation, the church we were attending. And I really felt challenged to double what we'd put in the year before. And I'm like, I've got no money. I've got no income. And
thanks,
you're asking
God.
Me to put... Thank you. Like, double? Like, and I'm having this, you know... Walk around the lake, more angry tongues.
Like, you walk into the lake on that one.
I rebuke you, Satan. Get your hand off my finances. Horrible thought. And then we made the commitment. We're like, fine. We put it down and made the first payment on that commitment, and then the phone started ringing. So that's, it was like the challenge. You had to make this, like you said, make the space for God to fill it. Like you have to provide the vessel and say, God, like, I'm going to partner with you. I believe you're saying this. I'm going to make that space.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. I love the parallels in both of you just sharing that. Like, you both had the redundancy, but it was that wrestle then with the Lord of understanding, oh, I've been trying to be Jireh, and it's like, oh, you are, and actually I'm his son, and you want to provide for me and take care of me. And so the doing the journey, the restless surrender, and then became an obedience thing, and then God's like, cool, now let me do my part. Let me... Yeah, it's amazing. Thanks for right there, a living example of my sermon right there. Let me ask another question, Gary, for you. Why do you think people, maybe especially men, really struggle to trust God as provider?
Yeah, well, it all boils down to recognizing that our Father is our source. And that happens both, you know, in the physical sense in terms of our physical dads being the source of our provision, our protection, our promotion, our identity, and all of those kind of things. But when we struggle, like I said, I struggled through a phase of orphanhood, not recognizing that I have a heavenly Father and that I've got to strive and protect, go and do all the things that I need to do to be able to provide for me and my family. In that journey, coming to the place and recognizing that we aren't I'm not the provider, that I do have a Father that is the source of my provision, and coming to that place of it's a revelation that we can have mental assent to, and we can agree in our minds that this is something, but when the pressure comes on, it's not coming out of our heart. It's not coming out of the revelation of the experience that we've had. And I think sometimes God is gracious. He allows these experiences like our redundancies and things like that to be able to bring us to a place where we can say, you know what? After that, I don't have any issue with God being my provider. I can step back. I know that He will provide. And in reality, the logic as an engineer steps back and says, well, if you say that you are Jehovah Jireh, and you function and behave and operate any different to that, then you're a liar. And you, God is not a liar.
Yeah.
And you are true to your word, true to your character, and true to your nature. Then I'm the one that's got it wrong.
Yeah.
That's been some tough talk, inside for myself.
Yeah.
I thankfully can say that right now, after these events of life and what have you, that... I've come to that place now where I can truly trust Him as my provider, and I'm not reaching over to the steering wheel anymore as I used to. So, it's a journey, I think, for all of us.
What do you wish the 21-year-old version of yourself knew now, what you know now?
Just that revelation. It's really just about that revelation. I guess being amongst... people who could disciple you, I think would be really helpful if people were around you. I wish that I was, as a younger man, sitting in the audience here today, listening to people talking like we're talking today. I didn't have that opportunity. In actual fact, I ran away from it because I thought that I could do it all on my own. And really, it just didn't go all that well for me. So just having that revelation of that God is my provider, that Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Yep.
All of those things.
Yep.
And I'm a slow learner, so it's taken a while for me to get there. But really, for those the folks that are earlier on in life, just learn from us. Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Mm. Yeah, we can clap. That's beautiful wisdom. You obviously you shared around that revelation, and then you said, "Yeah, I wish that I'd had this around me to guide me in," and just the being planted in God's house. And I think about the conversations I've had in Connect where someone's like, "Hey, I'm really wrestling with this," or "believing for a job." Oh, cool. And we get to remind each other, "Hey, God's got you." And just, yeah, wow. That's always such a key part of it. We don't do this on our own.
Yeah, you need that community.
Yeah. The community is so important. Josh, tell us, you just recently had to kind of have a similar wrestle in the sense of jobs and things like that and finance. Tell us now what the difference was in this time around.
Yeah, good question. But when I grow up, I want to be like Gary.
Yeah.
At that place where you don't have that wrestle anymore, that'd be amazing. So I was coming up to the end of a 3-year contract and, a really good contract.
This is this year, yeah?
Yeah, this year.
Yep.
Yeah, this year happened just just recently. And I was really enjoying the job, but the contract was ending and I needed to find something new. And it's not a great job market. For my particular profession. So I'm just looking around and going, God, I need you to move. And so just start doing what I can, just putting out applications and not hearing anything back. And then, the end date's drawing closer. I start calling a few contacts, in my network. And then one of them just goes, yeah, let me see. I'll put in a word with my boss and see what happens. I'm like, cool, thank you. That's really nice. And then 2 days later, he calls me up and goes, would you be interested? I might have a role for you. I'm like, yeah, that'd be awesome. And within a matter of weeks, it's just God just lines stuff up. There's not even an interview. Walk straight into this whole new job, and I'm 3 weeks into it, and it's a great, great pay rate, provides for everything that we need. Finished on Friday, started the next one on a Monday. God just opened up doors.
Praise God. Made it all happen.
It's a rest. It really is. It's a rest. And it's just a trust. Yeah. Like God, you've promised to provide.
Yeah.
And it's not just me he's providing for anymore. He's providing for my family through me.
Yeah.
At the moment he's choosing to do that through work. And for most of us, that's the experience, right? God's provision often just looks like the normal order of things. Like if you read, I was chatting with my dad about this last night. He said, if you read Ruth and Esther, where's the God said, or where's the supernatural moment? You won't find it in there. It's like Mordecai says, well, maybe God put you in this position for such a time as this, right? Mm. Like God just had set things up so that his provision for his people at that time just followed the natural order. And it can so look the same, and it can look so ordinary in our own lives. But with all things, beautiful. Give God the credit, because it's all glory to him, right?
Beautiful. I like you said the word rest. Like this time around, it's like you did it with rest. Like no angry prayers around the lake or anything like that. Yeah, because you'd settled in yourself. He's got this and he's provided. And being close to Josh, I've seen the difference in the journey of my contract ends soon, but I trust God. He's got it. And what a nicer way to live, in the sense of not stressed, but not worried, as you reference the scripture, but okay, yeah, trust, and God's got it. And that's the peace that he's called us to walk in. Amen. Hey, you go ahead. You're saying good stuff. You can have last
one more thing, right? I think another huge difference is I've had a real deeper revelation of God's love, right? Back in 2015, I didn't know. I knew God loved me, but I didn't know God loved me. But several years after that, I just got a real revelation that not only does he love me, he actually likes me.
And
I didn't even like me. So that was a mind-blowing moment.
Yeah.
And I actually realised he wants to spend time with me. He enjoys spending time with me, and he actually will take care of me. He does love me.
Yeah.
And that was after my second redundancy, that revelation. So,
yeah.
and it just completely changed things, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a father that loves us, and he wants to take care of us. He wants to provide for us. Awesome. Hey, I want to land this thing, and but maybe you guys can hang around and pray for some people with me. So we're going to stand because they need to take the chairs and the basketball and things away. And so you guys stand with me. I'm going to get you to stand on the stage while I finish this, and then we'll pray. Awesome. All right? So just act interested. Agree with everything I'm saying. All right? Man, so much, I think, to draw on from these guys' story. I love the wrestle. Like, guys, it's not God's not afraid of a wrestle. He's not afraid of the angry prayers. He's like, come, bring your heart before me. And I love how the Lord met Josh in that place. He said, all right, now I can go back home and keep applying for jobs. And God was doing a work in him. And maybe for you, that's the wrestle you need to undertake, perhaps. Or maybe it's just coming to that place of, yeah, have I given God opportunities to provide? Now, worship team, you guys can come and join me. But as we've referenced a couple of times at Matthew 6, 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be given to you. And I think that's the heartbeat of Jehovah Jireh. Like, he doesn't ask you to carry the burden of provision. He asks you to seek him first and trust that he will provide. And it might be in the everyday, ordinary of, wow, God, you've given me a job. Praise God. Like, thank you for what we have. Thank you. We don't have to worry about tomorrow, right? Because that's who he is. And so, dads and husbands, I want to speak to you directly for a minute, because I feel like some of you are carrying a pressure you were never meant to carry. You're trying to be Jireh for your family, but at what cost? Like, what stress and worry, what memories or opportunities is it possibly robbing you with your family, or the opportunities that God wants to do through you? Because only God can truly be Jireh. And the Lord is saying to all of us, obedience first, trust first, step out first, and then provision will follow. You know, I touched on Peter and the story in Luke with the nets. You know, they didn't wait until they saw fish to obey. They obeyed, and then the fish filled the boat. And some of you have been saying, oh, when the numbers line up, or when I'm more secure, or when the promotion comes, then I'll trust God. Then I'll step into his calling. But God is saying, no, trust me now. Trust me now. Obey me now. Let me show you that I love you, that I want to take care of you, that I am your provider. Because there is men here who I know God is calling into greater ministry, greater kingdom influence. That might be in the church, that might be in the marketplace. I don't know where that might be, but you've been held back because you've taken on the role of provider instead of trusting him. You know, I think about Peter and Andrew and Jesus. After that, he says, follow me. I always thought, man, those guys are awesome. They just like blindly followed him and went in. But did you actually notice that it was after this miraculous haul of fish? According to a study by William Hauser, this haul would have been many years worth of wages, possibly 300K equivalent today. They obeyed and trusted, and supernatural provision came. And so it's like Jesus was saying, I can provide what would have taken many years for you. I can do that in a moment. Follow me. Follow me. You can afford to leave this behind and follow me. And that's what set them up to go all in for the Lord. And it's time to lay down this idol. We talked about the idol of I'm the provider. I'm the guy, and decide to be a partner. To be a partner in the Father's business, and he will provide. Man, what if he were to provide like that? Would we follow him deeper, or would we just revel in it? Oh, abundance of fish, yeah. Oh, okay, God, you've got me. I'm all in. Because he's looking for our trust in him as the Father and the provider to partner with him. And now this isn't just for dads. This is for all of us. But maybe some of us are like the widow in 2 Kings 4. The oil is ready to flow, but you haven't set out any jars. You haven't given God an opportunity to provide. Provision hasn't come because you haven't given him space to. You're still clinging to control, but today God is saying, come on, make room. Would you trust me? Would you put out your jars? He is Jireh, and if he's already provided his son for you, for your salvation, how much more so can he provide our everyday needs? And so I believe that today he's going to reveal some jars that we need to trust him with, we need to let go of, to put out for him to provide.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.
Thank you.